So Everton had their AGM last night and there were some interesting headlines to come out of it, including news on the proposed new stadium at Bramley Moor Dock and how they want to win the Premier League title once they get there. That's what Denise Barrett-Baxendale, the club's new chief executive, had to say. So let's speak about this with John Blaine from the Everton Business Matters podcast. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Matt. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thanks. Great to have you on. And, well, you were there at the Phil last night. What were your thoughts coming out of it? Were you all positive?
I'm always positive and half full. So, yes, I was indeed, yeah.
There were a number of headlines that I've mentioned, including winning the Premier League title that obviously Denise Barrett-Baxendale wants to do. Now, this was her first AGM as the chief executive. How do you think she handled the occasion?
I thought she was very good, actually. I mean, she was on her feet for a good 45 minutes and she's obviously a consummate public speaker. She spoke with confidence and authority and I think she was very impressive.
We've come out of these things before and Everton fans have said they've not exactly heard what they wanted to from the chief executive when Robert Elston was in charge. So did she handle this better, do you think?
Oh, far superior, yes. And what she did, of course, which was very sensible, was she also effectively invited her board colleagues, most notably Sacha Ryazantsev, the finance director, and Keith Harris, the deputy chairman, and obviously the guy accountable for delivering the new stadium, to come and speak about their specific portfolio as well. So it wasn't all the Denise show. She actually, you know, exposed the rest of the team to the audience, to the shareholders, and that went down really well.
And that board, of course, got swelled last night, board of directors, because we've seen Marcel Brands added onto the directors list.
We did indeed, yes. I mean, we on Everton Business Matters, you know, we've been advocates for that for well over a year now. Clearly, when we were talking about it, it was the role that should be on the board. And it was Steve Walsh at the time. But I think in Marcel Brands, we've got the perfect guy to be the director of football. And it's only right that he sits on the board and has, you know, peer-to-peer conversations with his board colleagues about where to take the club.
Why have you been advocating him? Why do you think he is perfect for that role?
We, on Business Matters, we're really, our advocacy was around the role of the director of football, and our view is very much, and my personal view, and it remains so, that the director of football should be held accountable for all footballing matters. And if he's going to be held accountable for footballing matters, which includes, you know, player acquisition and player trading, so, you know, getting rid of players as well, then he should sit at board level so that we can, you know, do that with the shared vision that Denise talked about last night. And I think it's wholly appropriate, and she's right to have made that decision, that the director of football, currently Marcel Brands, should sit at board level.
Practically, I don't know if it means much more than having had the role he was, but it does show, in theory, that he's in it for the long haul and that he wants this position to really work out for him as well, doesn't it? And that's a positive step for Everton to be taking, showing their commitment with him for the future, given the role he's already done.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and Marcel in his previous role was there for a long time. And clearly he knows that the work that needs to be done at Everton is not a short term fix. And that's why he's accountable for everything. All the playing side from the youngest age groups right up to and including the first team will fall under his, you know, his responsibility. So, yeah, it is a great, you know, he clearly wouldn't accept the role if he thought he wasn't going to be here for the long haul.
That is a huge remit, really, isn't it? A club the size of Everton, the number of players that are going to fall under his wing, and it is going to require a huge amount of work from him. But from what we've seen so far, it looks like he is the perfect man for the job at this time.
He is. You know, he joined the club with a very elevated reputation. You know, he's managed himself very well since he joined the club. Clearly, in the summer transfer window, we did particularly well with on the player acquisition side. You know, he's inherited a bit of a mess, really, from Steve Walsh. But he's also done the right thing so far, and he's still got work to do in divesting players that don't fit in with the ideals and the playing style of the new manager.
It's Radio City Talk. I'm speaking to John Blaine from the Everton Business Matters podcast about that AGM that took place at the Phil last night. John, what did you go into that AGM particularly wanting to hear about?
I actually wanted to hear that the business has a vision, it has a strategic plan, and that everyone within the football club understands what that plan is and that they're able to articulate it to the shareholders and the wider fan base. And I think they did a pretty good job of doing that last night. So very positive. Ticked most of the boxes that I might have wanted ticking. Clearly, we would all like to know more about the new stadium, what it looks like, exactly when it will be open. But we all recognise that we've finished a consultation period. We've got another one to go through between now and the summer. And hopefully we'll submit a planning application that satisfies the needs of the majority of the fans.
And I believe an intention was made or displayed that they do want spades in the ground, not necessarily soon in terms of this year, but it's going to be hopefully by the start of next year.
Yeah, Keith Harris talked about, who's obviously the deputy chairman and he's actually, if you like, the project sponsor for the stadium. He talked about getting the planning application done this year and with a bit of a sunny day plan, having a spade in the ground in early 2020. With a build time, he said, again, a sunny day plan of a couple of years, but which means in theory we could be in 2022, but he himself said it's more likely to be 2023. But that, you know, that will soon be upon us, hopefully. And we can all revel in the fact that we've built our third new stadium in the city.
Is that pleasing to hear that the spade will hopefully be in the ground at the start of next year and it could be 2023, 2022 when Everton move in? Because let's be honest, there are some Everton fans, I don't know if you're one of them, John, but there are some who won't believe it until there is actually a stadium down there at Bramley Moor Dock, because there have been these false promises before.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I would imagine there's quite a number of fans who won't believe it until they're sat in the seat in the new stadium on the banks of the Royal Blue Mersey. I mean, this is the thing. And, you know, I've had conversations with Denise and she's mindful. And Keith is very much a man who talks about, you know, under-promising and over-delivering. But we can't have another false dawn. We've had too many failures. And I think it's right and perhaps respectful of the board to be a little bit cautious around what they tell us. But what they do tell us needs to be real. And I think at the moment they're talking that the finances don't look like they're going to be a problem. And they have options around that. And clearly we've got some good people on board like Colin Chong, who's going to lead the project from a day-to-day basis. So all we really need to do is get ourselves lined up, get that planning application submitted and make sure that it's so compelling, because it is a great opportunity for the Liverpool City region, not just the football club. It's so compelling that planning is approved reasonably quickly.
Well, Denise Barrett-Baxendale said 15,000 jobs will be created and it's going to accelerate £5.5 billion worth of development to the Liverpool Water scheme as well. So as you say, it's not just going to benefit Everton, this.
No, absolutely not. I mean, it will benefit the city, the wider city region. You talk about all those jobs that are going to be created. It's going to attract, or it's believed it will attract over a million, I think it's a million and a half, is it, additional visitors to the city during the year. And as you say, Liverpool Water's, you know, bookending the North Liverpool development, the 10 streets and all that good stuff. I mean, it's all very positive. And hopefully it's seen that way by the planning committee.
And what did we hear from Farhad Moshiri last night? Because we don't often hear too much from him, but when he does speak, it does seem to excite Everton fans.
It does, because the man is, I've met him a good few times and he's quite candid and he said some things. He talked about the risk that we perhaps took with appointing, Marco Silva, but that we're fully behind him. And he also talked about the stadium itself. And I think the statement that would resonate with the fans, those disbelievers, if you will, or those people who can't help themselves being a bit half empty, as he said, the stadium will happen and he will put in whatever amount of money is necessary to make sure that it does.
Well, that is exciting to hear, isn't it? And he said that the stadium is a necessity. They don't have a plan B or C because basically this is going to happen and it is going to be extremely expensive. It's going to cost £100 million more than other sites, but it is like Mastermind. We have started, so we will finish.
Yes, indeed. And that was one of his sound bites, wasn't it? He said it's like Mastermind. He talked about the site preparation costs are £100 million, which is extraordinary if you think about it. But it is a dock. It is on a World Heritage site. So it really depends what that £100 million covers. But the stadium will cost in excess of £500 million. And we are assured by the architect, Dan Meese, that it is going to be one hell of a stadium from a visual perspective. And, of course, if internally the capacity is right and the sight lines are good and the proximity to the pitch and all the atmosphere, all the briefings that the architect has been given gets delivered upon, it's going to be one hell of a stadium and something that not just the Evertonians but the city as a whole can be proud of.
The other standout quote from last night from Mr. Mashiri: I have spent £250 million to turn a museum into a competitive outfit.
Yes, that's all you need to know, isn't it? I mean, we had for a fair amount of time while Bill Kenwright, the chairman, was seeking the right investor, drifted a little bit, would be a polite way of saying it, wouldn't it? But we're in a good place at the moment. We should be in a better place, but we're in a good place. And under the leadership of people like Denise and Marcel and the other board members, hopefully we'll satisfy, you know, those ambitions you talked about.
And just before we let you go, John, the ambition was set out to win the Premier League title at the new stadium, which obviously is the ambition that any Premier League club should be aiming towards. And given the amount of money that Farhad Mashiri has behind him and by the looks of it is prepared to throw at Everton, it will hopefully be a realistic ambition.
I think absolutely it's a realistic ambition. I mean, we, in days gone by, particularly under people like David Moyes, I guess, fought above our weight and got close, and you know, we've finished in the top four, although it seems a distant memory now. But as you say, as long as we can become a sustainable business, we can be self-fueling and we can drive up revenues and have that journey into Bramley Moor, then yes, absolutely, exciting times ahead. And you know, I'm a half full person, so I can just wax the lyrical about how exciting it's going to be when we start winning things again.
And by the looks of it, Farhad Mashiri is really hopeful that Marco Silva will be that man to guide titles and trophies back to Everton, saying he's made a big bet on him and by the looks of it, he's prepared to stick with him because he believes in him.
Yes, absolutely. And when I met with Farhad back in the summer, he's been watching, so he told me, Marco Silva's career now since before he came to the UK. And he sees him, as you rightly say, as a young, progressive manager who could be with us for the long haul and actually build a team that will be successful. And if he, with his rather deep pockets, notwithstanding we need to be self-sufficient in our own right, but if he's going to back the man, then and Marcel, as you've already said, is a huge addition to that backrooms team, if you will. If those two guys working together can produce the right kind of players to get on the field, then yeah, absolutely. Why not?
Exciting times ahead for the Blues. John, great to catch up as always. Thanks for your time, pal.